Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy?
You'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Here, what's the best game where you swing from a rope? And what's the best game where you batter the Pope?
Assassin's Creed 2. Like I said, you will find out in this your podcast.
Hello and welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, where we like to find the best game within a very specific category that we've come up with just to cause arguments and stuff. For example, today we're looking for the best game that you can complete in one sitting. And I have to stress that's one sitting within reason, not requiring a catheter or regular deliveries of food. Just one afternoon, sort of like your Gears of War tight 6-hour campaign sort of thing is what we're looking for before people get any weird ideas about stretching the definition of one sitting to their extremes. I think this topic is really useful, in particular for people who are middle-aged or who have kids, because as I know from personal experience, like, you know, a baby comes along and then Thanos snaps all of your free time away and all of the joy out of your life. And anyway, let's move on from that.
Wow.
So I'm joined by Alex Donaldson, Rebecca Jones and Mark Warren. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks. Good.
Lovely. It's been a while since you've been on the podcast, Donaldson, isn't it?
Because
you've been...
I don't know, because it's that weird thing of like we record and then and then I don't know when stuff goes out. So
yeah.
I know we didn't, obviously I was away last week, so we didn't record, so I didn't record last, I think I recorded the week before that though.
All right,
but like
okay.
But it's that weird thing of if that one that I recorded went out pretty much straight away,
yeah,
and then you
yeah.
got them in the can, people won't have seen me for a month.
Yeah,
but it feels relatively recent for me.
We kind of lost all track of time actually, but yeah, I feel like I haven't spoken to you for a while, so I'm just going to go with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and Mark, you won last time you were on, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
you'll regret giving me this power, this one taste of this one taste of success that's going to drive me nuts.
Oh yeah, I won my first one and haven't won since. So get used to that, Mark.
Well, I mean, Connor, bless him, loves to complain every time he doesn't win, and then every now and then he wins, and if he doesn't win immediately the next time, it's like that's when he's at his worst, proper storming off and. But, you know, it's just a game. Why are you mad? All right, okay. So the best game that you can complete in one sitting. And I think, first of all, I want to hear from Alex. What are you thinking of? Is it some mad 360 era shooter campaign or...
It's 50 Cent Blood on the Sand. No, not a bad choice, to be fair. Yeah, I thought about this a lot because my first thought when I think about this sort of thing is I leap straight to... I'm old, so... I leap straight to a lot of the games on the shelves behind me because if you pick a good Super Nintendo Mega Drive game, you pick Sonic 2, Sonic 3 and Knuckles, Super Castlevania.
I mean, if you're
4,
good at Sonic 2, it's like 29 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I came down to, and even because I haven't sent you my pick in advance, even as I'm talking, I'm flitting between two different games, one of which is like a contemporary game, and one of which is one of my favorite games of all time, but it's an old man's game. But like, and up until literally this moment, I was gonna pick the contemporary game. And if no one else chooses it, I'll tell you what it is at the end. But But having said the words out loud of literally, when I first think of this topic, I think of old games because games used to be short and, you know, they used to just be short and difficult. Just very careful they're not so short and hard. And they just, you know, it was the arcade thing, right? They were designed, you wanted to have a game that if you could complete it, felt substantial. but you didn't want it to last for too long because you wanted to get that person off the machine and put a quarter in to get the next person to come and put their money in. And that logic transferred over to console games as well. And for me, the ultimate game where when I was a kid, right through to my teenage years, right through to now, every now and then, and I'm actually really looking forward to the guys at Analog who did the Analog Pocket, the Game Boy replica, and they did a Super Nintendo, and they did a and they did a Mega Drive, and they did an NES, and just recently announced that next year they're going to be doing an N64, and probably the cartridge that when I get one of those, because I will, the cartridge that will live in that N64 will be Lilac Wars, Star Fox 64.
All right, okay.
You know, beautiful game, rail shooter. Not entirely rails, actually, because they have all range mode where you get full 360 degree control, which was a huge deal at the time. It's just, I think probably a full run of that game is about 90 minutes. It's obviously the thing that I love about it. So the other game I was going to pick was an indie game that is sort of a story experience that is about 2 hours long. And by the time you get to the end of it, that's it. You've seen it all. And the thing that swung me back to this literally in the last seconds before the words fell out of my mouth is that Star Fox 64 has got a lot of depth to it in terms of the way some of the enemy encounters work, in terms of certain levels have secret passages that lead from one level to another level, because obviously the way the galaxy in that game is split is there's sort of a top path, a bottom path, and a middle path. So the first level, depending on what you do in the first level, you either end up on the hard route or the easy route, and then you can either stay on the hard route or easy route or come back in to the normal route, or you can do things like go through like a teleport sort of space, hyperspace jump or whatever to get from the easy path to the hard path. And it isn't like this is a game giving you a choice at the end of a level. It's based on your actions. So one of your wingmen might say, follow me. And if you follow them, it leads to a different path. If you defeat a boss in a certain amount of time, a really good example is there's a couple of levels in the game where you're in a tank and not a fighter. And in one of the levels, your tank is chasing along a train. And when you get to the boss, there's switches you can switch where instead of fighting the boss, you basically flick the switches with your shooting to change the track, and you send the boss like flying into a building, which destroys him and blows up this huge weapon factory. And if you do that, that's like the good ending of the level. They actually have like terminology for this. So it'll either say like mission failure, mission complete, you got through it, or mission accomplished, which is like the best possible path. So if you flick all the switches and kill the boss in that way, it sends you up to the hard route. If you fail to flick the switches and defeat the boss normally, it sends you down to the easy route. And so discovering all that stuff is really, really fascinating. And it's amazing how long, if you obviously these days you have the internet and you find out, but it's amazing how long stuff can elude you for in that game. How long people can go without realizing there's a submarine level because it's on the hard path. And the way in which you reach that level is you have to do a specific boss fight very, very quickly. And it's, if you don't know what you're looking for, it's quite difficult to do. Not only is it a game you can complete in 90 minutes, but it's got these sort of permutations and stuff that encourage you to complete it over those 90 minutes more than once, encourage you to come back. So if you've only got an hour and a half, you can enjoy this really fun little story and just muddle your way through it. But if you've got a whole afternoon, you can actually do it 2-3 times. And as well as the routes giving different levels, different challenges, different bosses, you're getting different story beats as well, and you're learning different things from the dialogue in the levels. You know, you go for the easy route and the ultimate bad guy, sort of the end of the game, teaches you that he's still alive. You go the hard route and you actually get a more definitive ending and learn a bit about what happened in the past. And I just love it. And it's one of those games where I remember, like, there was a forum I used to be really active in. And this is...
Oh, here we go.
This is not that... This is not that... This is not... It's a while ago, but it's not like ancient history in the sense that this will have been during the middle of the 360 gen and stuff like that. But yeah, they had a thread that was like a Star Fox 64 challenge thread where it was like, who can get the highest score through the campaign. Yeah. And I competed in that thread and probably played the game 50, 60, 70 times in search of like optimizing my route and knowing, it's like when you, play a lot of Time Crisis, right? You know where guys are going to jump out from. So you're almost pointing at them before they appear, which those games would also be great for this category. Star Fox 64, it is genuinely in my top 10 favorite games of all time. I think there are very, very few games that are so tightly wound and just there is not a thing wrong with it, really. I think it's that's spoken to in the fact that Nintendo keeps returning to that well as well. So like the most recent Star Fox game, it's sort of a reboot sort of thing of 64. They've got a couple of levels that are hardcore tributes to 64 with a lot of the music and a lot of the secondary characters make a return and stuff like that. And the reason they keep going back to it is because it is just this perfect little slice. And that's the thing that makes it quite hard to make a new Star Fox as well, because really, they've done it. They've made this absolute perfect machine of a game that lasts the perfect amount of time but has wonderful depth for if you want to get a bit more out of it. It doesn't feel like when you paid £50 for it at the time, it didn't feel like you were getting shortchanged, despite the fact it was only an hour and a half long. And yet, it's just wonderful.
How long does it take to like do everything in that game? Like if you were like, I don't know how you would measure it, but if you were going to 100% that game.
So there's two answers to that question, I guess, which the first answer is, if you just wanted to see all the levels, everything on easy route, everything on hard route, and everything in between, you could probably do that in 3 or 4 run throughs.
Okay.
We're talking about 6 hours.
Okay.
Now, they also have a thing where there's medals, and the medals are, they don't actually do anything. If you get them all, you unlock a thing for multiplayer, but who cares? But the medals are like achieved by getting very, very high scores on every single level, and some of the levels are quite easy to get medals on. Some of them are so fucking hard to get medals on. It's things like you have to, in order to have the chance, you really need to enter the level under certain conditions with wingmates, either with you or without you, because it changes the enemy spawns and stuff like that. And bloody so to hell. Do that, that's where I've done that, but to do that, that is like a big commitment and you're thinking about it. But I don't really count that towards the 100% because that's just replaying loads of content you've seen, or it's like getting 1,000 gamer score. You know, it's... But yeah, to see everything, I would say, 3 or 4 run-throughs. If you knew what you were doing and you knew where you were looking.
That's basically an afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I thought I was going to trip you up there, but it didn't. All right, okay. So moving on. I think it's only Martin that's actually told me what they're picking this week. So I'm quite excited. I'm finding out. I'm learning as we go. Rebecca, what have you got?
So as with Alex, I, up until pretty much the last minute, was trying to lock in my pick, because there is so much to talk about. Because I'm big into indie games, as you might know. I do another podcast, which is an indie gaming podcast. Check out Indie Venture Podcast. I have got permission to mention it. So many indie games. It's fine. Corporate overlords don't perceive me. It's okay. I'm allowed. So many indie games you can complete in a single sitting. Like famous ones like Gone Home and Unpacking would be like really good examples. And there's like personal favorites of mine, like A Year of Springs. I love A Year of Springs. I nearly picked that. But on my other podcast, we do have an episode scheduled in on this exact same topic, but we can only mention indie games. So it's like, I'm going to avoid the overlap and do a little bit of a promo. And I've mentioned this podcast on there, so it's fine. But but one game that I absolutely won't be mentioning on that one, despite being one of my favorite games, so I'm going to bring it now, is The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, which is definitely my pick for this.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, anyone who's encountered me in any sense for more than about 20 minutes before will know that I love Life is Strange, the whole sprawling superhero coming of age adventure game franchise. There have been 4 main games now. But there have also been some side games, and The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit is one of those side games, which was released as a free playable teaser for Life is Strange 2, actually the third main game. Don't worry about it too much. That's not the point right now. But I love that game. It is, in my opinion, it's just like a really perfect little game. And it's the fact that you pay nothing for it, you go in with very low expectations. But when you actually, you know, it's the same quality as the paid games in the series, which is a fantastic place to start from. It's just short. It's just, you know, it's just compressed it down into literally, I think, to 100%, this game is about 3 hours, I think.
Okay.
So for me, that's a perfect afternoon because, like,
that's quite respectable, actually.
I'm so glad that you specified what a single sitting was, because I don't have kids, but I am in my 30s and I have no time. Like, the amount of times in my life I can now sit for more than 2 hours at a stretch and play a video game, very, very rare. So I do I do love like a perfect little short game. And the thing about Captain Spirit is that it is also set in more or less real time, which I think is a really nice way of structuring a game that can be completed in a single sitting, to have it basically more or less running in real time for the character as well, which is really nice. The conceit being that you're playing as a 9-year-old boy on a Saturday morning, and you're just kind of going through his Saturday morning with him, which sounds boring, but it's... For one thing, it's got the sort of everything that makes the whole Life is Strange series so charming. It's got like the beautiful music, the beautiful animation. It's got the very intense emotional beats as well. It goes some places, like some devastating places. I will say Life is Strange is known for being a series that makes people cry. I love it, but I've only cried once at it, and it was at a moment in The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit. So that's kind of the baseline. You're going to get your gut wrenched by this. But the reason I think it is such a great game is because it's about play. So it's kind of a meta game in that sense, because it's very literally happening. It's this little boy playing in his house on a Saturday morning. It's like December, so it's been snowing because he's in Oregon, so he can like go and make a snowman. He can sort of like play with his toys in his bedroom, all of these things. But it also takes place on this level where he's imagining that he has superpowers, which some characters in Life is Strange literally do, but this kid doesn't, and he's not aware of them yet, because it does come up later. But he's kind of... There is a layer of imagination within the game, and different button pushes can kind of filter that layer of imagination over what he does. So you can complete a task normally, or you can press like L2 on controller or something, and his imagination kind of takes over a little bit of the scene, which I think is adorable. I'm not usually a big fan of kid protagonists in games, but this kid, Chris, oh my God, I love him so much. He is like my sweet baby. I just want to protect him.
This sounds amazing.
It's so lovely.
I never got that far in Life is Strange because I really enjoyed what I played. This is going to sound awful, but I didn't... Hearing it described as a sort of a franchise that's kind of about superheroes coming of age, I was like, is it? Oh shit. I mean, I knew about like in the first game you have the rewinding time mechanic and everything. Like, I'm not not a complete idiot, but like, I didn't know it could be described in those terms, and now I'm like, oh shit, I need to play this properly, because I played like the first episode of the first game, and I think a bit of the second one, and I really loved it, and I loved how like well realized the environments are and stuff, and how you like you really feel like you're in like you know, like a young woman's bedroom that she lives in, for example, and you really feel like you're in somebody's house. You really feel it's like all these sort of environmental detail is 100%. The way people talk to each other feels natural. I know that the series is like, there's a bit of a meme about the way she talks about like the Final Fantasy movie and stuff like that, but like,
yeah,
good film.
Square Enix had their hand in there, didn't they?
Yeah, it's certainly the best Final Fantasy film, I'll say that. What I'd say is, I wish there was more like this, because I do like this game, but also it brings to mind something that I thought about for this episode, which is Dead Rising 2 Case Zero, which was $2.99 or something like that on Xbox Live Marketplace, and it was an exclusive, much as this is to Life is Strange 2. It was, or was it the first? It was the second one, right?
It was Life is Strange 2, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Much as this is to that, it was an exclusive. It was a demo, but not a demo. So it was put out to try to sell you the full game. And in the case of Dead Rising Case Zero, it was a prequel starring the main character of Dead Rising 2 that bridged the first game and the second game. And it literally, much as you said, because it takes place over, you know, in a semi-real time, that's obviously the Dead Rising gimmick. So the storyline of Case Zero is literally only 12 hours of Dead Rising time long, which means it's 2 hours long. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting, fascinating. It's really sad, actually, because even though Dead Rising 2 is on everything else, that is still Xbox 360 exclusive.
Oh, no, I hate when that happens. It winds me up.
Yeah, but you know, if you completed it, it gave you unlocks in the main Dead Rising 2 and stuff as well. But it brings to mind that, and I'd love to see that more often, see companies put out small slices, even if they're not free,
that are
sort of standalone stories that tee you up for...
Yeah,
the big game.
Yeah, it's like getting your DLC first, right? It's just a different experience. Yeah.
Like I really love the, you know, the Assassin's Creed kind of hub idea. You know, when they were, I can't remember what it was called, but because I'm old, but like, you know, they were talking about this idea that it would just be like little vignettes. I love the idea of, because I love Assassin's Creed, but I don't have like 600 hours to spend on fucking walking through mud huts in Viking England, like, so like the idea of like a sort of 6 hour Assassin's Creed sort of, you know, standalone story that's like a fiver, you know, that sounds incredible to me. I love that idea. So you can kind of play around in that world that you like, and but you know, it's not a big commitment.
Ironically, when I heard the Call of Duty campaign this year was only 3 hours long, I was like, that's a plus for me. But then apparently it's shite, so obviously that's not what you want.
Apparently it's just like Warzone assets that they've... It's just like, you know when they used to try and put a really crap single-player campaign into like Unreal 3 or something?
Yeah.
And it was just like... It was just like, you know, like with guys from the office doing a bit of VO. It's like, let's get like the barista from around the corner to voice a grunt or something. And it was like, apparently it's like that. It's really cobbled together. Sharif hated it. So, yeah. All right. Okay. Moving on. Mark, what have you got for us? Because I feel like you've got a really good pick.
Right. So what I'm not going to do to start off with is do a massive long list of games that I could have nominated, because my life runs like the German railways and I locked this on Monday morning.
Show off.
What I am immediately going to do is completely date when this is being recorded, because tomorrow, or today possibly, Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name, which is one of the most concisely titled video games that's ever been put out, comes out. And I've gone with a Yakuza title. It's called Streets of Kamurocho. And basically, it's a thing that Sega put out back when it had its 60th anniversary back in 2020. And it was basically a piece of freeware that they put out on Steam. And it's just a reskin of the first level of Streets of Rage 2. But with the Yakuza makeover.
Yep.
I also did
a Golden Axe one, right? I can't think what that was.
I can't remember about that, but yes. Basically, this game is first level, Streets of Rage 2. You're walking through the streets of Kamurocho. There's loads of all of the landmarks that you remember. There's the bar called Serena. There's the soap land.
Yeah, which way do the stairs go, though? That's the real question.
Yes. There's the soap land that I think Goro Majima drives either a bulldozer or a lorry through at some point in the series, just on a whim.
Yeah.
But yes, basically you walk through the streets, beating people up in Streets of Rage style. It's all of the move sets from that game. There's three boss fights. One of them is the Chinese mafia guy that's in a bunch of the early Yakuzas.
Yeah.
One of them is Akira Nishikama's underling. And then the final one is Akira Nishikama. And you walk into the bit where he is. He's in an alleyway for some reason, out the back of Bacchus, the bar.
Yeah.
And you walk out, he's surrounded by goons. He immediately, his first move is just to rip his shirt off, which, okay. But yes, but basically, it's a very short game where you just walk through all of these, beating them up, and you can either play as Kiryu, Majima, or the prize that you get for beating it one time is unlocking Ichiban as the third character. But yes, I've looked it up on the incredibly reputable How Long to Beat. A main story playthrough of this game takes 21 minutes.
Okay.
A completionist playthrough of this game takes 36. And what I thought it would be interesting to do is try and quantify that in the only terms that you can for the Yakuza series by comparing it to the length of karaoke songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've prepared this.
This is great.
Bakemitai. A song with the title of which sounds very funny in my accent, I'm aware. according to the version that's on Spotify, is 5 minutes long. So, in one completionist playthrough of this game, you can listen to that about seven times.
Yeah.
Back to back. If you wanted to do, fittingly for a game that stars Akira Nishikama, the Judgment duet that him and Kiryu do in Yakuza 0,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could fit that in nine times-ish. If you wanted a bit of Majima, 24 Hours Cinderella is just under nine times. And finally, the most important one, the Majima construction theme. That's about 3 minutes, so you can listen to that 12 times in a completionist playthrough of this game. And the thing about it is that, in terms of replayability, once you complete it, it just loops on a harder difficulty. So you can go forever. Oh. That the high score on the leaderboards for it is somebody who's got like a million... 1.2 billion points or something, and you get about 50,000-ish per go-through. So basically, you can sit for as long as you want on an afternoon and just play it over and over again, try and beat your high score once you've got through it the first time, and it's a wonderful way to celebrate the beat-em-up origins of the Yakuza series, which obviously with Gaiden, that's the whole thing, that they've gone back to traditional beat-em-up instead of the turn-based that they've now switched to for the main entries.
Yeah.
The only thing about this is it's a beautiful pick, and I love it and appreciate it, but it is a sort of fun anniversary mashup that you can't even get anymore. But that's not the point.
You can actually.
Well, yeah, you can, but not in the intended way, right? Like it's been delisted from Steam.
I don't know. The intended way is getting up a Reddit post that has a link that you put into your browser and it pops up in your library. That's how you're meant to do it.
That's the Andy Hamilton way. But it is ultimately almost like a ROM hack of Streets of Rage 2, which is one of the best games of all time and is only about an hour and a half long.
Mm.
That's where I take my issue is that there's a beautiful game that's only an hour and a half long that you can play, which includes the first level and another
Are you essentially complaining that Mark didn't pick Streets of Rage?
What he's doing is complaining that I'm only 24. That's what you're doing. that's what you're doing.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, fair complaint. Uphold that, Jim.
I'll allow it. Disqualified for being young. So what I love about this is the fact that like me and Steve Burns, who used to work with on Video Gamer, we talked about Yakuza quite a lot, and Burns used to have a man of many wonderful turns of phrase, but he liked Yakuza because he said, harken back to the days when gaming was never better than this in his mind. It all went downhill when games stopped being about going from left to right, battering people and listening to rad techno. And that's Yakuza. Basically, is a modern equivalent of that. It is.
Well, like, people always say, "Oh, Yakuza is a successor to Shenmue," and I'm like, "No, it's not. It's a successor to Streets of Rage."
Yeah,
that is the new games that are RPGs, a bit more complicated, but the lineage really is Streets of Rage, or Bare Knuckle, as you call it, through to Yakuza, and like they obviously looked at Shenmue a little bit, but Shenmue is like a clunky fighting game that's been grafted on. Well, no, an extremely smooth fighting game. Sorry, Virtua Fighter fans, don't kill me. That's been grafted onto a pretty shit RPG. And I say this with a lot of love for Shenmue in my heart.
I do
but
like
it is
Shenmue.
A pretty shit RPG.
I do love Shenmue, but it's fucking hard going, isn't it?
I'm someone who likes Shenmue enough that where when I was in Japan, I specifically made a detour to Yokosuka to sort of walk through the streets. That it's set in, and yet I will admit it's a bit shit.
It is a bit shit. Yeah.
But really, it's Yakuza's modern Streets of Rage, especially the Kiryu ones.
It really is. It really is. It's like, what do you do? This is the thing. Before the Streets of Rage did come out with like a great new game, like when that franchise was dead and people, there would be, look, I knew a guy who like worked at Ruffian who did a pitch for it like way back before Streets of Rage 4 actually came out. Remember me and Burns were talking about it, and we were like, but like, there's no need to reboot Streets of Rage, because if you want a modern Streets of Rage, it's right there. It's Yakuza. Because what do you do? How do you modernize Streets of Rage? You give it, you make it a little bit open world. You give it a bit of story, and then you go about smacking people on the head with.
Well, you know what
stuff.
You do. You know what you do.
Yeah.
And I've said this before. I've said this to people at Sega. If you want to bring that series back, you literally just make one of those games in that engine, but it's set in the US.
Yeah, yeah,
it's set in like almost like RoboCop Detroit sort of US.
That's
what you do. But you literally just make it in their engine and everything.
But then they came out with a pretty good Streets of Rage 4, so you know it was
and,
all right.
And they came out with this, right? This Streets of Kamurocho is a firm reminder of how good those games are.
Just to jump in, it's a good kind of, because obviously people my age, because we didn't grow up with stuff like that, it's hard to appreciate sometimes the fact that that is the origins of these things that we now love that have grown into what they are. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a good way to kind of go back and appreciate, even if without having to commit to, I'm going to play through one of the original Streets of Rages and get used to all of the stuff that I won't be used to and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you should, like, you should play
to try and like roll back your quality of life expectations by 25 to 30 years and like, games were shit then.
It's what I call the Morrowind problem for me. It's a game that it's a game that I should love, but there's no waypoints and you have to follow actual physical directions given to you by NPCs.
Which as a
Gen Z-er, kills me. I can't deal with it. My brain explodes.
I think that's a problem of 3D games. I think early 3D games are very difficult for modern players to go back to. But I think in the 2D space, 2D games of that era are so refined that you don't run into that problem as much. Like if you've got a 10-year-old who's been playing Mario Wonder and loves Mario Wonder, you can drop him in front of Super Mario World, and the main thing he'll probably run up against is how hard it is. But other than that, it's completely playable. Yeah. So I think for 2D games, you can get away with it a little bit more. It's interesting though to think about. I'm just old, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shy at games. I was shy at games back then, so I prefer them now because like they're all easy. They're made for idiots, so like, of which I am one. Like, it's not a complaint. So Streets of Rage was the first game I ever completed, and it took me like my entire like what felt like an entire summer. God, when it rolled credits on that, I was like, I've done it.
I still don't have the. All the gamer score in Golden Axe on 360. And yeah. I didn't remember they ported all those games. They did like Golden Axe 1-2 and Streets of Rage 1-2 and 3. And I got full gamer score, I think, in all of them. But for some reason, I could not fucking do the first Golden Axe game. And I used to be able to do it as a kid, but I could not do it. I don't know if my reflexes had got worse over the 10 years in between the two versions or whatever it was. But yeah,
probably. Just like old bad reflexes, probably slightly arthritic, you know.
I'm just still reeling at the concept of like rolling credits on a game. I feel like one of the reasons that I like this topic so much is that if I can't complete it in an afternoon, it's getting picked away at for years and years and years, and there's maybe a 50% chance that I'll eventually see the end of it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I've completed every other Assassin's Creed game multiple times, and like usually in like, you know, like a week or maybe a month, but Valhalla has just, it's destroyed my it's actually made me hate that fucking series a little bit, which I'm sure most people kind of hate it anyway, so
they're
sure
so bloated is the problem, right? That's the thing for me. They're just
it's too much stuff. Just do that but less stuff, come on. Like, you know, everyone, when Spider-Man 2 came out, half the reviews were praising the fact that it wasn't full of shit to get on with, you know.
Right, and then so people happy.
And then people went, it's only 20 hours. What a disgrace.
Good. Like, yeah, it's the same length as the first one. Great, fantastic. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's only 20 errors because it doesn't have minutes. It's not got 60 errors of fucking icon janitor nonsense. Anyway, we're going off on one now. Right, okay, I need to pick something. So I need to play that fucking music. In the last episode we recorded, I wasn't even doing the judging. It was Sharif, and everyone still insisted that this get played. I was like, it doesn't even make sense. And Sharif was like, why didn't you commission one with my name in it? I'm like, because I'm not that fucking organized. But okay. Fucking hate it. Right, okay, so sorry, Dave Ballmer, but I'm going to despise it and you. Right, okay, so it's the best game that you can complete in one sitting. We have Lilac Wars, we have The Adventures of Captain Spirit, and we have Streets of Kamurocho. I fucking remembered all of those in one go. You'll believe the amount of times. Because I've got a memory, I've got a brain like a pensioner, and there was one time where I'd forgotten the game Alex picked, and he was, you were fucking raging. I was like, what did you pick again? You were like, fucking, hang on, it was this. I can't remember now. So
I can't remember anything there, so.
Yeah. let's go through it. So Lilac Wars, that is from the era where all games were 2 hours or
I don't know, it was sort of cusping out of that though, I think. What are that game's peers that were released around it? And you got Mario 64, which is a good 15 hour game.
Yeah.
And then you've got, and you think about it, even Mario World back on the SNES. That's a good eight, 10
Mission Impossible on the N64 and shit. Yeah.
Obviously, Zelda was Ocarina of Time was Nintendo's next big game after that, and that is a good 20-hour beastie meaty game. So yeah. It's sort of the last of its breed, which is why they have really struggled to do a Star Fox game ever since, and that's the last good one, because every Star Fox game since, they've shoved it full of shite because they don't think they can release a two-hour game. So they put in crap on foot sections or strategy sections or whatever. And that's why it's the last good Star Fox, because no one's got the balls now to release a game like that. Yeah. It was sort of the last of its kind.
So you got the last of a dying breed, in the former Lilac Wars. I really love Streets of Kamurocho. I love that that's a callback to the origins of the Yakuza series as we were talking about, because it really is I've got a special connection to that as well. As like I say, the first Streets of Rage game is the first game I ever rolled credits on, and I felt really proud of myself. But I shouldn't have, because no other kid took 500 attempts to finish that. Most of my friends had done that in three sittings, but I've always had the fingers of a fat balding man, so I aged into the hands, really. So I love it, but as Alex points out, though, it is it's an anniversary mashup. You can't even get it anymore without doing some Andy Hamilton sort of fakery. And so is it really a game? I mean, yeah, probably, but I need to come up with reasons not to pick things. But the one that I really loved, how you described The Adventures of Captain Spirit, and I think that series is great. I really need to play more of it.
Definitely. I like that it's done its job here, because it is a teaser to get you to play the other games, and just describing it seems to have worked.
It's worked in real time. There we go. So I love contained stories like that, and I love the fact that when it's like a linear narrative, and you can obviously play through it multiple times, but I love that it's like it is one and done. And it's like you have completed it in one sitting. Like, you've done, you've seen everything. There it is, apart from like possibly some collectibles or some, you know, the odd like secret area. But it's basically like, this is like a very self-contained episode. And I think that's like just perfectly in the wheelhouse of the topic, because Marks can go on forever if you let it, just like Alex and Lilith. And Lilith Wars, as we've established, is an old game and therefore bad, so it's got to be The Adventures of Captain Spirit.
Nice. So there we go, lovely.
we're gonna get complaints about that. How can you?
It's literally the last one I expected to win of all the things that I've picked since I appeared on this podcast. I was like, I'm just gonna throw this one in for fun.
I actually don't mind that one. I like that one, so I'm relatively content with that one. So you actually mentioned, I should say, I said that I was umming and ahhing between two games. My other game was Unpacking.
Ooh, yes. Unpacking. Very, very good single sitting game. In fact, I had COVID when I played it for the first time, and I literally just sat and, you know, couldn't move. Yeah. Unpacked a house. It was lovely.
It came out when I like had just moved house, and that was already like really fresh trauma.
Same. It was the week I moved house last time, and I was furious when it came out because everyone was recommending it. I was like, get around here and help me rather than doing this digitally. Why don't you? But then like 6 months later, I came back to it and did really enjoy it.
It came out like the second week of my daughter's life. So, and I just remember, and I remember like getting a code for it, and I wasn't technically at work, but just being like, I'll play this. And it was perfect for, you know, you're tired and miserable and you're in between nappy changes, feeds, stuff like that. It was a great game for that. Because I couldn't bring myself to play anything else. I was too tired.
It was very much my COVID experience of it as well. It was like, can't peel myself off the sofa. What shall I do for the next 3-4 hours?
Yeah.
Very good game for that.
Lovely. Cool. All right. The Adventures of Captain Spirit is the best game that you can complete in one sitting. We've decided that it's official now. Sorry, Mark. Sorry, Alex. But
next time.
It's all right. I'm raging, but I'm now going to take that rage out playing Streets of Camarot.
We were talking earlier about how when Connor doesn't win, he's really, really good at seeming incredibly, like, genuinely annoyed about it. So every time he doesn't win, I feel bad. And I feel, Mark, like you're also really good at that as well. it's just the stoic sort of, like, the stone face kind of like, I refuse to engage in the rest of this now. I'm going to punish you for it emotionally.
Letting the world posh over me.
All right. Okay. Thanks very much, everyone. Please leave us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice if you think we deserve it. If you don't think we deserve it, just don't say anything. Just leave it. And please leave a comment below. If you have a better suggestion than anyone on the panel, or if you really agree quite strongly, if you just want to shout at one of us and just don't, because it's not nice. You don't need
unless
that negative energy in your life. Unless it's Connor, who's not here. But
not even here.
might as well stick the boot in. Everyone else does. Okay, thanks very much, everyone. Bye.
Bye.